Thank the Lord for giving me another opportunity to speak from the Word of God. We are continuing our series, Heart to Heart series, and I also talking about heart. Do not lose heart, empower the inner man. I'm going to start with a small story. One fellow, supposed to be a believer, went to a preacher and asked him and told him that, "I sometimes doubt whether I am saved." So the preacher replied, "Because you doubt, that means you are saved. And if you are not saved, you will never doubt. So you will find out why I told you this story in a few minutes." So our outer man brought the inner man here today. So who is speaking today? Thomas John, right? So who is Thomas John? Say, if I am not here, how are you going to describe me? How are you going to describe me, Bob? An Indian brother? Or somebody will say, a short Indian guy? Cute? Quiet man? Yeah, I'm going to leave that alone. Susan's husband, Brittany's dad, all the above are true. So who am I? All those characteristics pertaining to my outer man. Do you really know me? I don't think anybody sitting here know my inner man. Sometimes we say to people, "I know you last 20 years, I know who you are." That's not true. Say, if I lived with my wife 30-some years, if I say, I know you well, no, not true. Only two people knows me well. One is myself, and the other one is God. Nobody else knows me. So my inner man is speaking today. Let me start talking about my outer man and my inner man, which means a small testimony. I born in the southern part of India, a state called Kerala, and in a little town called Rani. I born in a Christian family. Both my parents were Christians, born again Christians. And my grandparents were also born again Christians. They came out of from Protestant Christian group, or say nominal Christians. They became believers. But if I go beyond the third generation, I don't know any information. I don't know where they came from and who they are. Most people sitting here probably know only up to three generations. We were called brethren believers back in our town. So, in other words, we were called a group separator, not separate from God, separate from people. So we are, as very small group of people lived in the town. And I remember there were only four families in the town. And we were gathering in houses for the meeting. And we rotate each houses every week, go to different houses. There were only four families. And we start worshiping the Lord like that. And we were always under the watchful eye of other people because we are a special group of Christian people. They all watch us. And I grew up like that. If I do something wrong, my father will find out next day. Somebody will tell him, because that's how they were watching us, the other people. So I grew up as a church attendee, like a church-going person, going with the parents to church every Sunday. As a child, growing up as a Christian boy, and a youth, an adult. And I wasn't really a bad person, but I made some troubles, you know, here and there, but not really a bad person. And I was saved when I was a teenager. And I believe I was baptized after 2 years, which is on my first year in college, and I was baptized. So growing up in this Christian family setup, and when I saved, I did not feel any immediate changes in my life. Nothing evident, but I was happy that I was saved and I received Jesus Christ in my life, but there wasn't no immediate evidence. So that make me, at that time, sometimes I thought about, I'm really saved? That's what I told the story in the beginning. Am I really saved? But I know I am. I have Jesus in my heart. I was young. I was a young Christian and a baby in the spiritual sense. But that thought make me to think about this message. Mark chapter 10, verse 15 said, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. So I was a little child. Don't know too much about the Bible. Very little Sunday school, because we were only few kids in the group. So we got some Sunday school like here and there. So my spiritual journey was very slow and gradual. I learned more and more every day about God, and I corrected my life every day as needed. This thought led me to my title today, Do Not Lose Heart, Empower the Inner Man. Let us read a portion from the Bible, 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Chapter 4, verse 16. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. Do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. Here in this passage, Apostle Paul is talking about himself when he was under persecution and trial. But we don't have such kind of persecution right now or the same trials Paul went through. But we do have the pressures of this world, the troubles of this world around us. So this passage is very much applicable to us. Paul reminding us that the outer man is growing to decay. If you ask a scientist that what is this outer man, what is this man, the scientist will say it is mind and matter. If you ask a psychologist, he will say man has a body and conscience. But in God's perspective, man is body, soul, and spirit. So what is this outer man? The outer man is the physical body. So what we see is temporal. I'm speaking here, I'm standing here, I'm temporal. But my inner man is speaking to you. So it's the same chapter, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So what we see is temporal. What do you see? Here I'm standing here, I'm temporal. But what you don't see me is eternal. You don't see my spirit. You don't see my soul. That's eternal. So we tend to care about our outer man more than the inner man. We spend time, we spend money, we spend a lot of things to make the outer man looks good. And there is multi-million dollar industry out there to make the outer man looks good. And if you have money, you can change the whole shape. You can have a different look in the outer man. But nobody can touch the inner man. The outer man is decaying. That's what the outer man is. The ultimate purpose of strengthening the outer man is to look good. So Apostle Paul is saying, fix your eyes upon not on the things which is seen, but the things which is unseen. What is seen is the outer man, and what is not seen is the inner man, which is the spirit. So let's look at what is our inner man is. The inner man consists of soul and the spirit. So what is the soul? Soul is our mind, our emotions, our desires. The soul consists as our soul. Our physical body will die, and the soul and the spirit will never die. When soul agrees with the spirit, we are good. There is a constant battle within us between the soul and the spirit. When they disagree, the soul gets weakened. So this morning, it's a Labor Day weekend. We all got up. Our souls said, go to church. So the spirit said, go to church. And the soul will say, let's go to the beach, because it's the last weekend of the summer. Why not go to the beach? So there is a There is a fight between soul and spirit. So who is going to win? All people sitting here, they are winners. They are here. But that fight is always in our heart, in our mind. Always in a constant battle. That's the reason why we need to strengthen our spirit. When the soul wins, spirit weakens. Our soul communicates to God through our spirit. Only spirit can communicate to God. Spirit is our communicator. Acts chapter 2, verse 23. Acts chapter 2, verse 38. God gave the Holy Spirit to those who received the forgiveness of sin. How we know that we have the Spirit in us? How we know that we have the Spirit in us? One day I was at work, one of the patients asked, we were talking about little Bible things, and that patient asked me, how do you know you have a Holy Spirit? So I paused a little bit because I didn't have an answer right away. I had to think, you know, how do you know you have a Holy Spirit? It's no physical evidence that I have a Holy Spirit. So I answered to him that the way I live, the way I talk to you, that's how you know I have a Holy Spirit. So he agreed with me. And he was a pastor or some of the church somewhere there. So he knows a lot of things more than I do. So the how we know that we have the Spirit, how we operate our life, shows that we have a Holy Spirit in us. That is the reason why we need to empower our inner man so that we can operate our life outside just like God's people. We can be a testimony out there when we have when our spirit is strengthened. The power of God is kept in a fragile vessel. So same chapter, 2 Corinthians 4, 7 to 9. But we have this treasure in earthen vessel, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. The power of God is kept in this fragile vessel. We can be pressured from every side, but will not be crushed. Pressures of this world can destroy us, destroy the outer man, but not the inner man. Pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, yet not despair. Pursued, not forsaken. Smitten down, not destroyed. What we are today is because God's Spirit in us. We are living today because of the power of God in us. The outer man is dying, but the inner man is getting stronger. Death is working in us every day, so as the Spirit of Jesus strengthening us every day. John chapter 6, verse 63 says like this, the Spirit gives life, the flesh counts nothing. The words I have spoken to you are spirit and they are life. The Spirit gives life, but the flesh counts nothing. Our body counts nothing. The Spirit means life. The inner man is the powerhouse of a believer. Paul emphasizing the importance of empowering the inner man day by day so that we can withstand the pressures of this world. Even Jesus was strengthened by an angel. Luke chapter 22, verse 43 said, an angel of the Lord appeared to Jesus to strengthen him. So how do we strengthen the inner man? I came up with the four ways to strengthen the inner man. I made it as all start with the C, so you can remember all the points. The number one is communication with the Lord. How do we strengthen the inner man? Communication with the Lord. How do we communicate with the Lord? Through prayer. Colossians chapter 4, verse 2 to 4. Continue earnestly in prayer. Be vigilant in it with thanksgiving. That's how we communicate with God. That's how we get empowered. That's how we get strengthened our inner man through prayer, through our communication. We can only communicate to God through our spirit. Nobody can communicate to God without anything else. So let me read one more thing. Paul was praying for Ephesians in chapter 3, verse 14 to 16. Ephesians chapter 3. Verse 14 to 16. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man. Strengthen the inner man according to the riches of his glory, and through the power of the Holy Spirit. So how much we can get from God? How much strength we can get from God? What is the measurement scale? How much? That's this word says, according to his glory, we can strengthen according to his glory. It's an immeasurable strength. According to his riches, is immeasurable. We can be strengthened according to the riches of God. According to his power, which is also immeasurable. Paul is praying to Ephesians, praying for Ephesians that the God can empower their spirit because God is the source of all the power. All the power comes from God. So this may be our prayer also. Let's pray that according bless us, strengthen us, empower us with the power of God, with the glory of God, with his richness. So this may be our prayers. And Paul prayed for Ephesians, so this may be our prayers for other people also. So we normally pray for our physical need. We have knee pain, headache. We have a lot of other issues in the physical body. That's what we normally pray for. How many times we pray for other people's spiritual health? I'm guilty on that too. So we pray for ourselves, not normally we pray for the spiritual health of other people. Here Paul is praying for the Ephesians, for their spiritual health, to empower their spirit. So let's pray for ourselves and also pray for others for their spiritual health. So the second point is communion with the Lord. The first one was communication. And the second point is the communion with the Lord. Acts 2:42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in breaking of bread and in prayers. So communion is very important in strengthening our inner man, strengthening our spirit. Worship strengthen our inner man. Worship is not the only communion with the Lord. 1 John 1:3, fellowship each other, the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. Fellowship with each other is a communion also. We have a coffee here, 11:30 every day. It's a fellowship. You go get a cup of coffee and speak to people, talk to people, how they're doing. I don't really want to drink a coffee at 11:30 in the morning, but I do go because that's everybody else do. That's the time to speak to other people. I sometimes get the decaf, Alan knows, you know. I don't want the more caffeine in me again. I get a tea in the morning, so I don't want another one, but I do it anyway. But that's the fellowship. We can not only come into the worship, not the fellowship, and fellowshipping each other. And we see in Paul's benediction in 2 Corinthians, the last chapter, verse 14, Paul said, the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us all the time. The communion of the Holy Spirit we need all the time. Paul's benediction, we see that. We need the presence of God in our everyday life to strengthen our inner man. Commitment to do God's will. The third point. The first one was communication, the second one is the communion, and the third one is the commitment to do God's will. 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 61. Walk in his statutes, faithful to God's words. Walk in his statutes and faithful to God's words. Commitment to do what God wants us to do. Stick with our commitment. It is wonderful to preach from this podium, but it is far greater to do God's will in my life. So commitment to God's will empower, will strengthen our inner man. So next thing is, the fourth one is the correction or the confession in our life. Communication, communion, commitment, and correction or confession in our life. Proverbs 28, verse 13. Proverbs 28, verse 13. He who covers his sin will not prosper, but whoever confesses and forsake them will have mercy. Who covers his sin will not prosper, but whoever confesses find mercy. This is one of my wife's favorite words, and I know her father, my father-in-law, also cherished this verse. Who covers sin will not prosper, but whoever confess, find mercy. There's another verse in Proverbs 10:17. He is in the way of life that keepeth instruction. So we have to keep God's instruction. Correction in our life and confession in our life will strengthen our inner man, will empower our inner man. Our outer man is decaying, for the sake of Jesus. But our inner man is getting stronger day by day, both for the glory of God. Our outer man is decaying for the glory of God. Our inner man is strengthening. That's for also for the glory of God. We only need to strengthen the inner man until the outer man perishes, or until we see Jesus. After that, we don't need to strengthen our inner man. So I mentioned 4 points: communication, communion, commitment, and correction. And I believe all those points you can remember. So benefits of empowering the inner man. Overcome the tribulations. There are troubles around us. There are problems around us. If we don't have the inner man strong enough, we will not succeed. Our inner man need to be stronger to overcome the tribulations. Overcome the temptation of this world. The world can tempt us. The world can destroy us. The world can weaken our inner man. So in order to overcome the temptation, we need to strengthen our inner man. A couple of weeks ago, I was planning to paint one of the room there. So I called the painter. He came and gave me an estimate. And I asked him to do the work, and he called me Saturday and told me that I'll come in tomorrow morning, which is Sunday morning. So I don't really want him to come Sunday morning because I want to go to church. So I tried to work out with him, can you make it Monday or Friday evening? And he said, no, it's an early day, I can come. So what happened? I ended up staying home, and he came and painted the room. So I failed there. My spirit failed. My soul said, let him come and paint, because he may not come for the next 1 month. You know? But my spirit said, no, that Sunday you get to go to the meeting and worship. You have to have communion. You have to fellowship with each other. You have to worship God. But I failed there. So these pressures can destroy us, our inner man. We need a strong inner man to face the pressures of this world. Resist Satan in this world. Satan can destroy us. If we are weak, that's where the Satan go. The weak, they attack the weak people. In order to resist Satan, we need to strengthen our inner man. We need to empower our inner man. And also, empowering is a gift from God. Nobody else get this. Only the people who trust in the Lord can get this gift. Empowering is a gift of God. And also, lastly, empowering our inner man is a testimony. If we don't have a strong inner man, we cannot testify outside to other people. I felt that so many times. If I am not strong enough, I cannot be a witness to God. I cannot testify to other people. So in order to be a witness for the Lord, in order to testify for the Lord, we need to strengthen, we need to empower our inner man. So the benefits are overcome tribulations, overcome the temptations, resist Satan, and it is a testimony to others. Therefore, Do not lose heart. Do not faint. Do not give up. Do not lose hope. And do not lose happiness. Instead, empower the inner man and strengthen the inner man and renew the inner man day by day. May his name be glorified. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for speaking to us, and thank you for your word. Empower our inner man so that we can withstand the pressures of this world until we see you face to face. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.